We must confess Nietzsche isn't very clear at times on this point, or at least not always very explicit. But he seems to be saying something, or seems to be saying the same sort of thing that we've been saying in these lectures, when we say that whereas the lower evolution is collective, the higher evolution is individual. Nietzsche, in fact, has a sort of vision of man, a sort of picture of man in his mind. Nietzsche said that he sees man as a rope. Sees man as a rope. A rope, he says, stretched out between the beast on one hand and the overman on the other. And Nietzsche, who is nothing if not graphic, nothing if not imaginative, says that this rope, which is stretched between the beast and the overman, is stretched over an abyss. It's dangerous to be a man, in other words, or at least it should be dangerous. Man, he points out, is something transitional. He's not only just a rope, he's also a bridge. He's a bridge and not an end. And being a rope, as it were, being a bridge, as it were, being not an end, he must live for something other than himself. And this something other, for the sake of which man, for the sake of which each and every individual man should and must live, is the overman. Nietzsche, in fact, does not only distinguish between beast and overman, he distinguishes too between man and overman. He distinguishes between man as animal and man as human being. And the distinction for Nietzsche is a very sharp one indeed. And he says, in fact, that the majority of men are not men. The majority of men are animals. As we pointed out more than once in the course of these lectures, most people have not yet achieved humanity. And Nietzsche says, or according to Nietzsche, the great turning point, the great watershed of evolution, of the evolutionary process, is not as between animal and man. It is between man who is still an animal and man who is no longer an animal, man who is truly human. And this point, this turning point, this watershed, is, of course, points two on our original chart. The point of the emergence of self-consciousness, of awareness, the point at which, as we saw in some detail in previous weeks, the point at which begins the higher evolution. Kaufmann, expounding Nietzsche, says of him, he maintains in effect that the gulf which separates Plato from the average man is greater than the cleft between the average man and a chimpanzee. This is Nietzsche's thought. The other week we found it echoed by a very prominent modern novelist. And this is, of course, very much our own view as expounded in the course of these lectures. And it's not a view which is very flattering to the average man. The average man doesn't really like to hear that he's lifted very little, if at all, above the animal level, that he falls short of true humanity. This is not the sort of picture of himself that he cares to see. And it's not surprising that when Zarathustra, in the prologue, spoke to the people in the marketplace about the overman, they just laughed at him. They were much more interested in watching the tightrope walker. We may say that Nietzsche distinguishes three categories. First, that the category of animal, including animal man, i.e. the majority of so-called human beings, honorary human beings, we may say. Second, the category of man, true man. And thirdly, the category of the overman. Nietzsche also speaks of what he calls preparatory men. And though he's not very clear on the point, these seem to be intermediate between man on the one hand, true man on the one hand, and the over man on the other. And these he describes them, he describes these preparatory men as bent on seeking in all things for that aspect which must be overcome. This is the characteristic of the preparatory men. And he exhorts these preparatory men to live dangerously, not safely, not cosily, not comfortably, not securely, but insecurely, even dangerously. In a way, we may say, Nietzsche's views on what constitutes humanity, true manhood, are even more radical, even more demanding than our own have been in the course of these lectures. And Nietzsche says, among other things, that the true men, those who are no longer animals, are simply the philosophers, the artists, and the saints. In a sense, he considers only them to be really and truly human, which is going considerably farther than we have gone. And the overman, apparently, is something even higher, even superior to the philosophers, the artists, and the saints. But at any rate, it's also clear in Nietzsche's thinking that man becomes overman by the process of self-overcoming, and it's clear too that philosophers, artists, saints are overcoming themselves, and to that extent are, in a sense, to some extent, over men.